Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from our Isaiah reading, Isaiah 25, verse 9. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us." We pray. O Lord, in the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. RSVP. Just got an invitation recently to celebration of Courageous Love New Life Banquet, their annual fundraiser coming up here. I'm sure you've all gotten an invitation before. What was it that meant the most to you? Was it a birthday party? Was it a graduation? Or maybe a wedding? Just any wedding. The wedding of someone who you knew. Maybe the wedding of someone in your family. How much joy does it have when you receive that invitation, that news, that you have been chosen and you are on the guest list. That the bride and the groom, or at least one of them, thought that you were worthy and wanted you to be there at the celebration. Something worth waiting for, is it not? Maybe something that you would even look forward to? Perhaps if it was your birthday party, I remember how I always loved those, look forward to them. It never really disappointed me. It was always a lot of fun. But as I got older, my birthday is really hard. It's exciting, I have to admit. I don't really have the same joy as they used to, right? I'm sort of, oh man, another year. But sometimes when we wait for something and it doesn't really seem to be worth it, does it? It might be a test we waited to get the results for. You know, my roommate just took a test and it wasn't the results he was hoping for one of the jobs he was looking at. Studied a lot for it. It didn't pan out. Maybe there's a new ride at the park, Valley Fair, riding a wild thing for the first time. Pretty cool. Is it worth waiting hours and hours in line just to go on for a minute? I don't know. Maybe there's a game that you're waiting for, like it's going to take place at noon. Talking to Packers, Vikings, again, waiting, hoping that they will actually win, not have to listen to more and more jabs from Packer fans. You hope. You wait. You hope it's worth the wait. And there's the waiting that's more difficult. Waiting in the hospital room. You're waiting in the waiting area. Waiting to hear what the news will be. Sometimes it's not always good, is it? See the image of someone with their head buried in the stomach of their loved one, praying, hoping, waiting for something good. There's the waiting for the day of marriage. the day of one of your family finally to get married. You think, now I've had my hopes and dreams fulfilled, right? It's all going to be joy and happiness from now on. Maybe the love of my life. That's how it goes, right? Yeah. And you realize, maybe all my expectations weren't really accurate. And sometimes it ends in divorce. And it ends in failure. All that waiting, all that celebration, only to have it taken away from you later on. Feels that way, doesn't it, in life? We all have those tests in our life, those things that we hope are worth waiting for. And then some things happen in our lives and we find out and we question, is that really worth waiting? Was I wrong? Was my hope misplaced to wait for that? To hope for that? To wait for you? To hope in you? And this transfers over to our spiritual walk, doesn't it? We all have our weaknesses. We all have our breaking points. We all have those things that if they do happen in our lives, and maybe they have, we start to wonder. We start to question, is this worth the wait? Is this the right way? I think I've been challenged in my faith more than I've ever been in my whole life these past years. Things happen to you as a Christian you think would never happen to you. And things are said to you that you think would never be said to you as someone who confesses to know Jesus. Or maybe it's the own words out of your mouth that you never thought you'd say. Or things happen to you, suffering, tragedies that you think would never happen to you if God is really real. Or that one you've been praying for so long. What if they don't come to know the Lord and they die? What then? Was it all worthless? And yet we have the reading from Isaiah that this wedding feast is going to come. It's going to happen. Sure as the sun's going to rise tomorrow, it's going to happen. So when we talk about hope and we talk about waiting in the Christian perspective, it's not like we're waiting for something we're not sure if it's going to happen, we're not sure if it's going to work out. It's some waiting where we know it is going to happen. We know it's going to work. We know it's going to be worth everything. In the same way, we don't say, I hope the sun rises tomorrow. We say, I know the sun will rise tomorrow, even though it hasn't happened. I know tomorrow will be another day. I know there will be a feast to come of Jesus and his bride, the church. And on that day, I know, on that day, the Lord will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and all shame, and all guilt, and all fear, and all sorrow will be gone. And they will sing. They will rejoice and say, this is our God. This is the one we've waited for. This is the one I was hoping in when my loved one died, when I was in the hospital room, when I got diagnosed with cancer, when I was in financial stress, when people betrayed me, when people hurt me, when I felt alone, when I felt like giving up. This is the one. Finally, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he has come. It was worth it all along. We've trusted him, and he has saved us. Let us be glad and rejoice. The Canaanite religion, these were the pagans at the time of Israel in the book of Isaiah. In their religion, death is called Mot, would swallow up their god called Baal. And during that time, there would be an arid season where there would be no rain. And another god called Ashtra would have to come and cut up Mot and free Baal from death. And then the rains would come and would produce crops again. But the thing is, this would happen over and over again, so death would come back even after he got killed. And he'd swallow up Baal again. Ashtar would have to come and free him again. It would happen every year. It would just keep going on and on and on. But notice the language in Isaiah. What is the feast about? That the Lord will swallow up Mot. The Lord is going to swallow up death. The guy who keeps swallowing up everyone else is going to be swallowed up himself. He's going to be swallowed up by Jesus, who will die, who will suffer, who will experience all of the pain, all the sorrow that we would experience in our walk, and yet trust, and yet hope, and see, this is my God. This is my Father in heaven. I trusted in him, and he saved me. He didn't keep me in the grave. He rose me from the dead. Raised me to his right hand. I rejoice. Rejoice. Not really for me, for you. I rejoice that I could be the one to save you, to swallow up death for you. It's not a cycle that will happen or needs to happen again. But Jesus died, he died once and for all. It's not like we have to wonder, oh, I wonder about next year. Will Easter really come next year? Well, Christmas? I wonder this time, when this person is near death, I wonder when this Christian undergoes death, what's going to happen? Is he going to pull through? We know, as sure as the sun rises, Jesus saves us. And he gives us this hope and this picture to look forward to. People from all tribes and nations coming to this feast. It says, really in the Hebrew, it says a feast of fat. Because the fat was the best portion of the meat. Choice wines and choice meats. The best that money could buy. There will never be a feast that is greater than the one that will happen on this day. God is doing it all for His bride, for His church. Who said, I need a Savior. I can't beat death. I might be good at some things, but I can't face death. I can't face myself, my sins. I can't figure out the meaning of life. I need someone to bring me to something new, to invite me into something new, a new life that will last forever. Revelation says, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Paul says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortal, then what is saying will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are things in life that are not worth waiting for. And there are things in life that are good, but maybe they don't work out. Maybe they don't go as you hope. But when it comes to the Lord, everything that God plans and that God promises is absolutely, without a doubt, worth the wait. And that's why we come here every week or couple weeks and we celebrate the feast of victory. Jesus' body and blood given for us reminds us of what He's done, that He's won the victory over death and hell and sin for us. So we don't have to go out into the world as losers, as people that don't know what's going to happen. We go out as victors. We go out hopeful, certain, so that one day we will be able to join all the faithful from around the globe and around the span of time and sing together, behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him. Let us be glad and rejoice in His salvation forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understandings, will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.